The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simen Ches, Devarim Ha'asurim Mishehayir Hayoim, Ad La'achashi Hispano. Things which are forbidden to do from daybreak, from the time the day starts to get light, until after one has finished praying the morning prayers, shachris. Sif Aleph. Mishael Amud HaShachar, from the time that the time of daybreak, Shehu Or HaNoitzetz Min HaShemesh, which is the light which shines from the sun, the Mizrach in the east. Since at that time is the beginning, the earliest time when one is permitted to pray the Shachris prayers, that if you pray at that time, ex post facto, if you did it already, you have fulfilled your obligation, like we will talk about later on at the beginning of Simen Yud Ches, meaning technically speaking, it's preferable for a person to daven after Netachama, after sunrise. However, it is technically considered daytime already from what we call Amos HaShachar, from daybreak, and if one prayed then, he would fulfill his obligation. Therefore, also La'adam Le'haschil B'malacha, a person is forbidden to start any type of work, or to be involved in his business, or to go on a trip, before he prays. Shenema Tzedek L'fanav Yehalech, righteousness should walk before you, v'yasin l'derech v'amav, and then he will put his footsteps on the road, which means the Talmud teaches us tzedek. The word tzedek zut tefila, it's a reference to prayers shematik l'bayrei, that he acknowledges the righteousness of his Creator. He proclaims the righteousness of his Creator. V'hader, and only after that v'yasin l'derech v'amav, he should place his footsteps on the road to the way of his desires. Meaning it's improper for a person to be busy with something else before he has spoken to Hashem, before he has prayed the morning prayers. Before the time of the morning prayers, then, since you can't pray now anyway, you could be involved in other things. There's no technical problem with being involved in other things. The halacha is, you know, that for a divine mitzvah, for a mitzvah purpose, one is permitted to, let's say, go shopping or to do work, to get involved in something before praying the Shachar's prayers, before the morning prayers. And therefore, for example, if it's going to be difficult for a person to do his Shabbos shopping, his shopping for his Shabbos food, after the prayers, the bakery will have run out of challah or something, it is permitted to go before Shachris, because that has a mitzvah purpose. Now, we have to define when exactly is Amos HaShachar. When is this time that we call daybreak? So based on the Talmud, the Pesukim can tell us that this is the amount of time that it takes to walk 4 mil. A mil is a distance that takes a problem, where we, it's a difference of opinion how long it takes to walk. The opinion that we generally follow is that it takes 18 minutes to walk 1 mil, and therefore 72 minutes before sunrise is Amos HaShachar. So whatever time, let's say sunrise is 6 o'clock, so Amos HaShachar would be 72 minutes before that at 4:48 in the morning. However, there is a difference of opinion among the Paiskim. Is this number, 72 minutes, a universal flat number? No matter where you are, no matter what time or season of the year it is, it's always 72 minutes before sunrise. Or is this a matter of the season and the time? The Talmud is talking about the latitude of Eretz Yisrael and Babylon, Eretz Yisrael, where the majority of the Jewish population lived at that time. And it was talking during the, you know, on or around the equinoxes, when the day and night are equal. At that time, the first light of day, daybreak, will be visible 72 minutes before sunrise. If you're in a different latitude, you're higher up, you're lower down. If it's a different season, so then the numbers will be different. And therefore, we have differences of opinion. Some, Paiskim, always say it's a flat 72 minutes before sunrise, while others say that it fluctuates. It depends on how light it is. Many of them use what we call a solar depression angle. How far below the horizon is the sun? It's about 16.1 degrees. The sun is about 16.1 degrees below the horizon when we're dealing with Eretz Yisrael during the equinox. So that amount of light, different times of the year, different places on the globe, 16.1 solar depression angle will have different numbers. For example, in Baltimore, Maryland, that number is somewhere between 80 minutes and a little bit over 100 minutes before sunrise. It's never 72 minutes, and it could get to over 100. A person should ask his personal Rav how he should act. Sif Beis. They also lay le'echol and lishtais. It's also forbidden for a person to eat or to drink before he has prayed his morning prayers. Shenemar, as it says in the verse in Vayikra, le'seich le'ahadam. Literally, it means you should not eat on the blood, which Talmud explains to us means le'seich le'ahadam. You should not eat kaidem shetispalim le'al dimchem before you've prayed for your blood. Meaning before you've prayed for your needs, before you have talked to Hashem and prayed for what you need, one should not eat. And any person who eats and or drinks and only afterwards prays, only afterwards davens, Olava Kosev Aimer, about him, the verse says, in Melachim, V'oisi Hishmachta Achari Gevecha, me you have thrown behind your body, Al Tikri Gevecha, do not read the word Gevecha, which means your body, El Gevecha, rather, your haughtiness. The Talmud explains to us that the pasuk means as follows, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, says, after this person has made himself haughty, he has attended to his personal needs, he has eaten and fulfilled his desires, only after that, Kibbol of Nachas Shemayim, he has accepted upon himself the kingdom of heaven, it's not appropriate that you first take care of your desires and only afterwards you acknowledge the mastery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mastery of Hashem. And therefore, one is forbidden to eat or drink before praying, before the morning prayers. V'afilin lishtais coffee or tea, even to drink coffee or tea, im tzukar v'chalav, with sugar, and milk, or milk, also is forbidden. We will see in the Sifra 2 that coffee or tea without milk and sugar is permitted, as we will discuss. But once you add sugar and you add milk, or you add milk, it becomes a more significant, more special drink. It's sugar, it's sweeter, it's fancier, and that's already considered being involved in desires before the prayers. A person is either elderly or he's weak. He cannot hold himself in. He cannot manage to wait until the congregation has left the shul, meaning until after they finish the prayers. And especially on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that the prayers are very long, and it's difficult for him to wait so long until he eats breakfast. It is better, it's preferable to permit this person to pray the Shachar's prayers, the morning prayers in his house, benachas, at ease, calmly, meaning when he feels comfortable, he's not starving. The Kaddish, and afterwards, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he should make Kiddush, because now that he has finished praying the morning prayers, now that he has finished Shachar's, the obligation of Kiddush has started. So therefore, he should say Kiddush. The Yoichal, he's a dove, and he should eat something. So in this way, he feels full, he feels stronger, and he'll be v'achakach. And afterwards, yelech habeis haknesses, he should go to shul, v'achavim liba im hatzibur b'tfilah shachris, and he should focus, he should think about, keep in mind what the congregation is praying during the morning prayers, meaning he should respond to Kaddish and Kedusha and to Baruch Hu. So he should listen to their prayers. And afterwards he'll pray with them the Musaf prayer because he's able to manage, he already had breakfast. This is preferable than coffee and sugar, rather than not to drink coffee with sugar or something similar without accepting the yoke of the kingdom of heaven first, meaning it's worse to drink a coffee before davening and only then to daven. It's preferable to daven b'yichidus, it's preferable to daven singly by yourself without the congregation rather than to eat or drink before tefillah, before davening. However, if it's for a medical need, it's for health reasons, then it is permitted to eat and to drink before the prayers, because this does not have the quality of haughtiness, because you're not eating to fulfill your desires, you're eating because you're sick, because of some health issue. And similarly, if a person can't concentrate at all, he will not be able to concentrate on his prayers without eating or drinking. Even if he doesn't pray with the congregation, even if he prays at home right away in the morning, he can't concentrate. When he wakes up in the morning, he's not feeling well until he is not able to focus his mind until he eats something or drinks something. Then if he wants, he is allowed to eat or drink before the prayers because that's not considered haughtiness. Not a desire. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. I can't fulfill my obligation of prayer properly without drinking or without eating, and therefore it's permitted. However, the general custom is not to be so careful about coffee and tea with sugar and milk. The Poskim mention that the general custom is that if a person feels he needs a coffee or a tea before davening, before prayers, to wake him up, to allow him to pray better. So the general custom is to permit that, even though there is sugar or there is milk in the coffee. The Mishnah Berurah does say, however, Mishnah Berurah does not bring this custom down, but Mishnah Berurah says, in a slightly different context, that if one has to eat before praying, it is preferable. It's a nice thing to say the first section of Shema, at least this way you have accepted the yoke of heaven upon yourself, you have acknowledged the yoke of heaven by saying the first section of Shema, and only afterwards to eat or to drink, and the same would seem to apply to this custom that most people, and that the general accepted custom to drink a coffee or a tea, even with sugar and milk, that it would be preferable to say Kriya Shema, at least the first paragraph of Kriya Shema, beforehand. However, other foods really should not be eaten before davening. It's only coffee or tea, even with sugar and milk. We do not consider it such a significant, a special drink that it's considered like haughtiness, and therefore, for that, the custom is to be lenient to that. Siv Gimel. Yesh Aymim, there are those who say, She'afilu kam b'chatzais ha'layla, even if a person awoke at midnight, also lo'in litayim kardim she'yispala, it's forbidden to eat anything before he prays. Once it's already midnight, it's already the second half of the night, we're looking already towards the morning prayers, and therefore it's inappropriate to eat before praying. V'chei nachem l'hach means, so it is appropriate to be strict. However, in chalash libay, if his heart is weak, he feels he needs some strength from some food, mutter l'inlechov v'lishtay, say he's a davar, he could eat or drink something, l'chazik gufa v'atayr, to strengthen his body, in order to enable himself to learn tayr. However, again, this sif is a, we call a chumra, it's a stringency. The letter of the law is what he said earlier, that one is permitted to eat as long as it's not yet the time for prayer. It's not alayis hashachar. However, the Mishnah Berurah does point out that within a half an hour before alayis hashachar, one is forbidden to eat a meal. A snack one is still permitted to eat, but a meal is forbidden within the half an hour before Alei Sashachar, as opposed to other activities that were mentioned earlier in Sif Aleph. Those are only forbidden once the time for prayer has already started. Eating a suda is a little bit more strict, and therefore one is forbidden to start eating a suda, a meal, which means more than an egg's worth of bread. One should not do that before Alei Sashachar, within the half an hour before Alei Sashachar. Sif Dalet, Mayim, water, V'chein tea, coffee, or tea and coffee, the light sugar without sugar, and without milk, Mutter Lishta is Kaidim Atfil, it's permitted to drink before prayers, Afla Achash Olam Rashachar, even after daybreak, Ki'in Be'en Lo Misham Geis, because these do not have any haughtiness, they're not sweet, they're not special, they're basically, it's like water. We treat them as water. Water is an insignificant type of drink. It's just there to hydrate you. And that's the way we treat tea and coffee without sugar and milk. That's something insignificant and doesn't show haughtiness, and therefore is not a problem to drink before the prayers. Vafilo b'Shabbos v'Yomtiv, even on Shabbos and Yomtiv, shechayev b'kiddush, that there's an obligation of kiddush, and one is forbidden to eat anything, even to drink water, before one recites kiddush. Still, mutar lishta is devarim elu, kaidem atfilo, is permitted to drink these items before the prayers. Vena kiddush ma'akvay, and the kiddush does not prevent him. The obligation of kiddush does not prevent him from drinking. Kevin shekaidem atfilo, since before davening, before the prayers, adayin lo higi as a man kiddush, is not yet the proper time to say kiddush. Why not? Dein kiddush el b'makim suda, because kiddush may only be said in the place that you eat your meal. Dehainu samach l'achil, which means close to the time of your eating. Dehareh, and behold, the efshel l'achil, it's impossible for him to eat kaidim tefilas shachar, before shacharis, before the morning prayers, and therefore the obligation of kiddush has not yet started. Since the obligation of kiddush has not yet started, so you can drink water or coffee and tea without sugar and milk before Shacharis, which is before Kiddush. The Mishnah Brewer's opinion is that somebody who's sick and therefore is allowed to eat real food, is allowed to eat a meal before davening, is obligated to say Kiddush beforehand, because for that person, since he is not prevented from eating by the fact that it's before Shacharis, because for him he's allowed to eat before Shacharis, so therefore, for him, there is an obligation of kiddush, and he should recite kiddush before he eats. Ketanim, minors, boys or girls below the age of bar or bas mitzvah, do not have a problem. There's no obligation to prevent them from eating before davening or before kiddush, and therefore this simon, this part of the simon regarding eating, does not apply to a katan. He is allowed to eat before davening. There is no problem with the child eating breakfast. Sifhei. Also, lehakdim lepesach haver, it's forbidden to proceed, meaning to go out of your way to the door of your friend, lekabel panav, to greet him, to meet him, and to greet him, v'liten leshalom, and to give him the greeting of shalom, shalom aleichem, peace unto you. V'afilim leimer leitzafra demaratav, even to say to him, good morning, as he translates, the Kitzur translates, Guten Morgen, which is Yiddish for good morning, or Boker Tov, which is Hebrew for good morning. It's forbidden to go out of your way to greet somebody. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, in the verse in Yeshaya, Chidlu v'chem in ha'adam, withhold yourself, hold yourself back from greeting a person, asher nishama v'apai, that has a soul, the spirit of life, which was breathed into his nostrils. Kivan men nechshavu, because what is he considered, and how is he special, that you should greet him? Obviously, this means to say, by mecha shafti lozeh, with how special you're considering this person, sheik damta kivaydi l'kvaydi, that you preceded his honor to my honor. You went out of your way to say hello, to say good morning to your friend, and you didn't yet pray, you didn't yet talk to Hashem, and so to speak, give shalom to Hashem. And therefore, it's inappropriate. A person is not allowed to go out of his way to say hello, to give shalom, to say good morning to his friend. Now, it doesn't mean only to go all the way to his house. the same rule would apply if he sits on the other side of the shul, for you to go out of your way specifically to give a good morning, to walk all the way across the shul, to give good morning to somebody would be forbidden before the prayers. But if you met him by chance, you're walking in the street, let's say on the way to shul, and you met your friend. Mitzad ha-din, based on the letter of the law, mutter liti lashon, is permitted to say shalom to him, to give him the greeting of shalom. Ach nachon l'shanis, but it's proper to change the greeting of l'shanis, to change your words a little bit, kidei sheyitein leivs, so that you should put it to your mind that you should think about the fact that it is forbidden to be involved in other things and other matters before in the prayers, and therefore a person should not give his usual greeting of Shalom Aleichem to his friend. Rather, the Shulchan Aruch says you should say good morning. The seems to be two reasons that Shalom is, it's worse to say Shalom than it is to say good morning. First of all, Shalom is one of the names of Hashem, as we mentioned in an earlier siman. And therefore, the greeting of Shalom Aleichem is really using the name of Hashem to greet and bless your friend, which is more inappropriate that before you've talked to Hashem, before you've talked to your Creator, that you should use His name in greeting somebody else. And that's one reason why it's preferable to say good morning. And also, the way the Kitzur says it, it's better to make a change. It's a reminder that now is not the time to engage in idle conversation, to have a long talk about something. Now is time for prayers. Afterwards, one could have a talk. Therefore, there are those who say that the Shulchan Aruch, who says it's preferable to say good morning, is talking when the normal greeting would be Shalom Aleichem. In a culture, a society where one greets his friend with the greeting of Shalom Aleichem, then it's a change to say good morning. If, however, your custom is always to say good morning to somebody, then there is certainly room, one could certainly imagine the way the Kitzur is saying it, that it is better to change it. Meaning, if you say good morning, maybe you should, instead of saying it in English, say it in Hebrew. Wishim boker tov. If you usually say it in Hebrew, maybe say it in English. Or the like. This way it's a reminder that I did something unusual. I said the greeting in a different way. It reminds me that I'm not supposed to be involved and engaged in idle chatter before the prayers. Sif Vav. Even to learn, to study Torah, is forbidden to start a study session before, and once Alayis HaShachar, once daybreak has come. If one was learning from beforehand, he may continue. But if one has not started learning, one should not start learning after daybreak. Ah, however, Misha who ragyon leilech abeis haknes is a person who is accustomed to going to shul to pray. Vein lachush, and therefore there is no worry, sheyavras nan, that the proper time for prayers will pass. And as we're not worried he's going to get caught up in his learning and forget to go daven, he knows he has to be at shachas, he has to be at the shul at whatever time it is. So therefore, mutalai is permitted for him to start. This means that the halacha was really said for somebody who is planning on praying at home, or who usually prays at home and just happens to be today he's planning on going to shul. In either of those cases, whether he normally prays in shul and today he's praying at home, or whether he normally prays at home and today he happens to be planning on going to shul, in either case, there's nothing really to remind him to stop learning and to pray. He has no meeting to attend to. He has nowhere to go in order to pray. And therefore, or he's not used to going somewhere to pray, and therefore he may forget himself, get caught up in his learning, and end up missing Zman Tefillah, missing the proper time for prayers. And therefore one is not supposed to start, rather first pray, and afterwards you could start learning. But if you are planning going to shul, and you normally go to shul, so we assume that you're going to do what you normally do. You feel the pressure to get to shul, like you always do. And therefore, you're not going to get caught up and forget what time it is, you'll make sure to stop on time, and you will make sure to pray before the end of the proper time. And similarly, one is learning with others. And if they don't learn now, their study session will be nullified, meaning be canceled. They will not be able to study. This is the only time they really have to learn. Even though they're not going to shul, they're going to daven by themselves at home. Still, mutar l'magimayim is permitted to learn with them, because the merit of the many, the Torah study of the many people, many means however many you're learning with, 2, 3, 4, it doesn't have to be 100. The merit of the Torah study of the number of people that are learning now because of this study session, davar gadol, is a very great thing. And therefore, we can allow you to study, to learn, even though you have not yet prayed the morning prayers. We'll build that, and provided they should be careful to pay attention, that they should not pass the proper time for tefillah, the proper time for praying the morning prayers. They should make an extra effort to make sure that they pray on time. Another suggestion is that if somebody has what's called a shomer, a guardian, someone who's not involved in learning, and therefore not worried he will get caught up and forget himself, if you ask that person to remind you when it's time to pray, then you could start a learning session and rely on that person to remind you not to get carried away, not to go overboard, and not to miss the proper time for prayers. If one would like to see more information about the topics presented in this year, one could go to the resource page on kitzer365.org.